This is National 4-H Week, and it's a chance for you and I to connect or maybe reconnect with the 4-H community here in the state and across the country. I'm really pleased to be able to do that today. I started in 4-H when actually got involved probably when I was about 4 years old, because I used to sit in on the 4-H meetings that my sister had in her home, and then I got in as soon as I was old enough and stayed right there when I was 18 years old. Tell you what, we've got Kevin Palmer with us today, 4-H Youth Development Educator in Manitowoc County with UW Extension. He's been with us before. Tim Talon has too. Tim's State 4-H Arts and Communication Specialist. And Christine O'Neill here for the first time. She's a 4-H member from Ozaukee County. Christine, are you in the 8th grade?
Yep, that's correct.
You're in the 8th grade. Okay, so you will be telling us a little bit about your experiences in 4-H, and I hope you'll join in too as you listen to the show today. Maybe you've been a member of 4-H in the past, or maybe you've been someone who has worked as a leader or helped with some of the projects. Love to hear what you have to say and some of your own experience as well. Or maybe you haven't been involved in 4-H at all and wonder a little about it. So in any of those circumstances, we hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call. Well, I said, kind of said hello to Christine. Tim Talon, welcome to you.
Hi, Larry.
And Kevin Palmer.
Good morning, Larry.
Nice to have you with us as well. I tell you what, there are people, I'm sure there are people listening who don't know a thing about 4-H. So maybe you can get us started. How did you get started in the first place? What's it all about?
Well, I think, Larry, the first thing people ask is, well, what do the 4-H's actually stand for? Well, it's head, it's heart, it's hands, and it's health. That's what the 4-H's are. And I think it really got going about 100 years ago when they were trying to teach people how to grow better corn, how to milk their cows in more efficient ways. So it really was based in agriculture, but has changed a lot since then. And I know Christine's going to talk about some of her projects. But those areas have expanded to include the arts, to include things like shooting sports that maybe Kevin's going to talk about a little bit later. So it's an informal educational program that's been going on for a long time.
And pretty much, across the country, but Wisconsin has had pretty active 4-H programs in most every county, haven't they, Kevin?
Absolutely. Every county has a 4-H program. We have a community club program with, I think it's over 150,000 kids,
I think so.
Yep. Statewide that are involved in that program. And in Manitowoc County, for instance, we have 20 clubs with 600 youth involved.
And maybe, Christine, because just to give us an example of the kind of breadth of things that a 4-H student can be involved in, how many different activities, what kinds of activities are you involved in personally?
Well, that's definitely changed. Like in the past, they would just have like the crops and things, but now there's home environment, and a lot of people think, oh, it's just that. But then there's the arts and crafts, and there still is the sheep and the cows, but then there's also shooting sports, a lot of arts. So they kind of get the spread for everyone's interests, so it's really neat in that way.
And you have a chance to kind of play some leadership roles at a pretty young age, don't you?
Yes, definitely. One of them that I participated in last year is you're allowed to apply and go to space camp, and that's in Huntsville, Alabama. Well, the past year I was actually a counselor for that, and to help you prepare in a leadership way, you have to actually apply, and you do that over the phone for this particular situation, and then there's actually planning sessions. You have to prepare activities to do on the bus and then also be a role model in space camp in Alabama.
So you were doing that as a seventh grader. You
Correct.
Were leading things.
Yeah.
Kevin, we're not going to get a word in at you.
I don't think so.
You know, we might as well just give up right now. Christine is also the president of her 4-H club. So what does that really make you do?
Well, that's something more at a local level. You kind of run the meetings. You have to prepare the agenda and basically make sure the meetings run smoothly. Actually, it was last month. That was my last. I did this for 2 years, and I just handed it over to some really young club members, and I'm going to be helping teach them, which will be a very neat experience. Kind of from the back end.
Well, that's cool. I was president of my Hope 4-H club back
awesome.
a long time ago. Wasn't quite horse and buggy days, but it was a long time back there. Jeff and Baraboo's got a comment or question. Jeff, hi. Thanks for calling.
Boy, I'll tell you, 4-H is my life, so it's so wonderful when you have any program on 4-H. It's just great. I got to tell you that 4-H, while it's for kids, you can't believe how much fun it is for adults. everyone should volunteer. We just had a meeting a few weeks ago where there were 12 adults there, and we realized that none of us 12 had a kid in 4-H. We were doing it because it was so much fun for us. And just like your wonderful 4-H participant there was just talking about, this 4-H is not just animals and plants anymore. I mean, we've got rock climbing projects, boat building, forestry, bicycles, photography. Photography is the biggest project in the whole state. We've got an astronomy one. One of the reasons why we got our daughter into 4-H umpty billion years ago, she's now in college, was that while Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts are nice things, it's the qua-military business of wearing uniforms and being segregated by gender that we didn't like. Boys and girls are together of every age in your club. You have the tiniest little kids who get up and talk in front of groups, and they're all the way up to 18, 19-year-olds, and all the kids end up being able to speak in public. My daughter went and spoke at the legislature when she was in high school, and it was entirely because of her 4-H experience. I'm running off at the mouth. I'm going to stop now.
Thank you, Jeff, right, for calling. And
thanks a lot. Jeff. Appreciate it very much. And there are a lot of people, Tim Talon, who are have that same kind of enthusiasm.
I think so, and I think Jeff is just one of those leaders that when he starts talking about 4-H, he can't stop because he sees what it's done for so many kids. And just like he said, the whole public speaking thing is huge in 4-H. And most 4-Hers, you remember when you were the president, you need to get up in front of a group of people and address them and speak. And it's a lifelong skill.
And maybe, Kevin Palmer, you could say a word about some of the volunteers, because for each, as I understand and remember, for each type of project that there would be that you'd have, you sometimes need adult volunteers to help the kids out.
Oh, absolutely. In Manitowoc County, for instance, we have 200 volunteers, and they're both help with club leadership, helping the young people learn the leadership skills, the parliamentary procedure, those kind of things, as well as the project skills, whatever, if it's dairy or woodworking or photography, helping young people learn those skills, passing that on. That's a very important thing that we do.
Hmm. Well, Jeff, I thank you for calling. Deb in Rice Lake will give you a chance. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm calling just to say that I'm 51 right now, and I went to, in Rust County, belonged to a 4-H club during my childhood and young adult times, and it was one of the most wonderful influences in my life. And the people who were our leaders, we went on bluebird trails, and we had just everything. I still have some of my blue ribbons that I won for sewing, and we did a lot of canning, and there was woodworking and all kinds of cool things. And when the gentleman, your guest, noted that the four clovers have four different meanings, I remember the pledge. Can I say it?
Sure.
I pledge my heart to greater...
Head.
No.
Head.
I pledge my head to greater thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, my health to better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world.
Yay.
And how many years ago was that now, Deb?
Oh, gosh. I graduated from high school 32 years ago, so it's been a while.
It's amazing how, that was running through my mind, too. It's amazing how you remember that even after all those years.
Oh, yeah, it was a great experience, and I'm very grateful for all of those who are involved in it, and keep it going.
All right, thank you very much for calling. You can join in, too, if you have a question or comment, maybe an experience about 4-H to share. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. I'm wondering sort of about that range of youngsters who belong to 4-H. We have people from urban areas, rural areas, rich, poor. Wondering, maybe you can talk a little about that, Kevin.
Well, 4-H members, they can start in kindergarten, and it goes all the way up to 1 year past high school. And it really does. It really does cut across the all the classes. And it's open to any child. And I know in the club my family belongs to, we have a very diverse group. But it's kind of nice that the kids learn to work together and to communicate. We have three different school districts that are in our 4-H club, and they get to meet kids from the surrounding areas, and really widens their circle of friends that they have as well.
Let's go to Rod in Rhinelander. Hi, Rodney. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the call. And it's funny you should have this program because I have three children, and they're all 40. And it was just a couple weeks ago that they were speaking of their time in 4-H, that it was very corrupt.
Ah.
And 4-H is based on how much the parents and how much income they have to put into their child's project. And I understand that some of the other states have decided 4-H is archaic and it's past its time.
Well, I'm kind of surprised at that, but let's ask Tim Talon for a comment.
Yeah, I'm surprised about that too. You may find, Rod, that there's some people that maybe are in it for the wrong reasons, but I can tell you from my perspective, most people are absolutely in it for the right reason. And it's not about buying that blue ribbon for their child or anything. It really is about the child. And my experiences have been with callers like Jeff and Deb that it people are doing it because they see that it is of real value to their children to be involved in 4-H, and the skills and the lifelong learning that happens is what keeps them in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, let me ask Christine. Now, when you work on projects, who does the work? You do your own work?
Yes, definitely. The first time, I mean, they'll show you what to do, and it's kind of an example because you can't just learn something by yourself. But then you kind of start learning it by yourself, and you end up teaching others. Like, I, for entomology, which is actually the study of bugs, I know it's a little different, but I love bugs. And we started, and a leader taught me, but this year I'm actually going to be the leader, so other kids from around the county are going to learn how to pin bugs, collect bugs, identify them, and take care of them from me, which is kind of exciting. And I guess going back, I'm really sorry about your experience, but I guess it's also problem solving, and everyone has their difficulties, and maybe, I mean, everyone has a bad experience sometime. I know I've had difficulties too, but it ends up all being positive. So I hope that maybe someday they'll end up being leaders or in another area and having a positive experience.
Hmm. Thanks again, Rod, for calling. Appreciate it. Wendy in Beaver Dam, we go to you next. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. You have an amazing young person talking about 4-H.
Yes, we do.
I grew up knowing 4-Hers, and they were always rural kids. And I didn't grow up on a farm, but I've always admired it from a distance. But now I'm old, and I have a 9-year-old, and we are going to our very first 4-H meeting tomorrow.
Oh, awesome.
So exciting. I want you to talk about how it's so diverse from what I'm seeing, in that it doesn't just relate to farm kids, that my daughter is going to get into photography and cake decorating and sewing and crafting and hopefully leading at some point. But I'd really like to hear about that side of 4-H, and especially as a parent who's taking her daughter for the very first time. And I didn't grow up in 4-H, but...
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that you don't have to grow up in 4-H to have your kids start in 4-H.
All right. Well, Tim Talon,
I would love to talk about that, Larry. The program I'm obviously involved in is the Arts and Communication, and there's about 13,000 4-H members out there who are actively involved in arts and communication. That goes from photography to arts and crafts, drama, music, all those kinds of things. And obviously, you don't have to live on a farm to be involved in those things, and they are huge project areas. And we just recently completed an evaluation study about these things because people said, well, that's all fluff. That's just arts and crafts. You're just having a good time. Does it really do anything for people? And the survey showed that absolutely it helps you build skills. It helps increase your self-esteem. There's all sorts of things that go with that. So I would say you're starting a very exciting time of life, your 9-year-old going to her first 4-H club meeting. I would encourage you to check out that enrollment guide and find out all the 80-some projects that you could be involved in, and just go from where your interest is. Like Christine said, collecting bugs, you never know if that's something that's really going to take hold, and it's there's something for everybody in 4-H, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I appreciate you taking
Thank
my
you.
Call.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate it very much. Well, I have a four-year-old at home, and she, when we go out, she loves to go at the zoo, for example. She goes to the Herp building, and she looks at the snakes, and then there's a whole insect collection that she goes through every single time. So I could see her down the road in that entomology project, Christine.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And the neat thing is, I was actually a counselor for a day camp, or not a counselor, but a teacher. And what I did was I showed the steps, and some of the kids that came from our county, they're going to go back and they're going to enroll in it. And some of them are even in Clover Buds, and they did their first one this year, and they're really excited. So I can't wait till they're an explorer, which is where you can do the different projects. So,
What's a Clover Bud, by the way, Kevin?
Clover Buds are in kindergarten through second grade. So they're just getting started in 4-H.
The little clovers.
Explore a lot of different things.
If you'd like, thanks, Wendy. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. If you'd like to join in, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. As we talk 4-H today with our three guests, Kevin Palmer, 4-H Youth Development Educator from Manitowoc County, Tim Tallon, State 4-H Arts and Communication Specialist, Christine O'Neill, 4-H member from Ozaukee County, and she's in 8th grade. How old are you, 12, 13?
I just turned 14. 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
Well, happy birthday to you. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking 4-H today. This week is National 4-H Week, so it's the perfect time to talk with our three guests, Kevin Palmer and Tim Tallon, both involved with 4-H and UW Extension. Christine O'Neill is a 4-H'er and member from Ozaukee County, so really happy to have her along as well. And lots of callers online, so we'll go back to the phones. And Tony in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Tony.
Hi there. Hey, I was just really excited to be able to talk to you folks about 4-H. I belong to a 4-H club up in Door County, and this was when I was a kid. I'm in my 50s now, but Marion Bertzel and Margaret Kramer were our wonderful leaders, and I mean, what I learned is like a lifelong habit and hobby. I mean, I still can't bake something without thinking about the cooking classes I took. The music contests that we had between the clubs were just a lot of fun, and pianos continued to be a lifelong hobby and source of enjoyment for me. My brothers took woodworking classes. One of my brothers built his own home. My other brother works in corporate, you know, business in Milwaukee, and he loved the photography classes, and that remains a hobby of his. So, I mean, it's a wonderful organization just for introducing kids to so many different things. I'm so impressed with the young lady on the phone on the show there today too. So I wish her continued luck. And you know, for those of us who are adults who have that background, who do we call or who do we talk to get involved as a project leader or learn more about what's really happening in the, you know, I'm assuming that 4-H clubs are really thriving today and they're looking for volunteers.
Thanks a lot for calling, Tony. And Kevin Palmer, we'll turn to you.
Absolutely. We're always looking for volunteers. And if you just look under the yellow pages, under the County Extension Office, that's probably the best place to look. And there'll be 4-H listed under that. And just give us a call, and we'd be happy to talk with you about the kind of things that we do and the help that we need.
So go to your phone book and go to the county.
The county and the UW Extension Office.
And then 4-H is always listed under there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks. Good memories brought up. So thank you again.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Do we have a Wisconsin website for 4-H?
Yes, we do. In fact, it's pretty good. And if you just Google in Wisconsin 4-H, you go right to the site, and you'll see there's all kinds of resources there for how to join, how to be a volunteer leader, what kind of projects we offer, and links to just about everything in the world, Larry. So if you go to our website, there's all the applications, all the information is right there.
Vera in Duluth, Minnesota. We'll go to you. Hi, Vera.
Hello. I've been in 4-H for 5 years, and I am into rabbits pretty much, and I like them the best because they're gentle and they're sweet, and right now, I'm just about to get into this breeding business of the breed of Dwarf Hotos, and they're really fun. It's a really fun breed, and I just started it, and I like also doing clothing and textiles. I did an apron 1 year ago, and I like to do performances, 4-H performances, and share the fun, a program that's really fun. And I like, my sister likes horses, and I like them too, but not into them very much. I'm kind of thinking about getting into swine or goats next year. I just like to do lots of clothing and textiles, and rabbits are my favorite animal, and I just like to do a lot of fun things in 4-H, like also going to Christmas programs, and that's really fun too.
Well, I tell you what, sounds like you're involved in a lot of things. Christine, how many projects are you involved in?
This past year I was in 17, but that got to be too much because then if you enter more than one thing, it ended up being about 54 projects showing at the fair. And that was a little hectic. So I recommend, like, your first year starting off with one or two, and then you can always broaden it and try new things and decide what you really like and then get into those deeper.
Yeah, and Vera, sounds like Vera's been in 5 years now, and so she's expanded. And I like the breadth of things that she's involved in. Sounds like you're involved in a wide variety of things as well.
Yep, definitely. I have to say I'm not like all in one area. I mean, I do sheep, and then I go all the way to home environment and clothing, and then I'm in bugs. So it's not like I'm all in the same area. They're actually kind of all spread apart differently. So.
And then you also do things like the arts camp. So yep. There's statewide
yes.
opportunities.
I like the arts parts a lot, especially there's things like Tri-County Days where instead of taking a whole project for a year, you can see what one thing's like for a couple hours, and then you can always take that project. Or there's the variety show, which is where you get to try the different arts, playing piano, doing music, or even acting and singing, and you work on those for several months, and then there's an entire show where people from the entire community come and they watch, because it's just very neat and creative and different, and then they end up giving awards, and they're all great opportunities. Some of the other ones, what else is there?
Oh, there's like the Arts Leadership Lab for high school kids, and coming up later this month, there's the Arts Camp, which will involve about 150 kids from around the state to sample different project areas in 4-H. So there's lots of things, and if you're really into drama or show choir music or art, we have state teams as well, so high school kids could be involved in these state teams. There's a lot of ways to get involved.
Yeah, thank you, Vera. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. And, you know, one of the things I kind of enjoy, just as an aside, now I'm from Dane County, of course, so we go to the Dane County Fair every year, And I really do enjoy going in and seeing the various exhibits. The arts exhibits and so forth are fantastic. Yeah. I'm always impressed with the variety of things. My wife, who was a pastry chef at one point, always likes to go through and look at the cakes.
Absolutely.
And so forth.
Definitely.
They're a lot of fun. Lisa and Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, Lisa.
Hello. I have a question about older children starting 4-H. I have a 13-year-old who did 4-H in fourth grade, but it was a lot of cooking, nutritional information, things like that, and he kind of lost interest. But I'm hearing you talk today, and it sounds like there's quite a few other things that maybe he didn't know so much about when we did it in fourth grade. So is it something that older kids can start in, and if so, you know, how do they start? And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, thanks. And you're in Eau Claire, Lisa?
I'm sorry?
You're in Eau Claire area.
I'm in Eau Claire, yeah.
Okay. All right, Kevin, you want to...
Yeah, the starting point is your county extension office. They can help you find out what kind of clubs are in your county and what type of things those clubs are doing. For instance, shooting sports is getting to be a bigger project area in our state, and that has attracted a lot of older youth. And we're doing things like archery and trap shooting and rifle, those kind of things. And it's a great way for kids to learn in a safe environment and develop those skills.
Go ahead.
Excuse me, Larry. And Lisa, another thing that I found is sometimes when the older kids join 4-H, they tend to be the most passionate ones of all about it. My story is a young man who wanted to be part of this state drama company, and he got so involved. And when he was 15, 16 years old, first time ever in 4-H, he went back to the local club, and he was the club president, and he helped pick up the roadside on community service days and really got into the full experience. And this was a kid, obviously, who was quite a bit older.
So there are clubs. Now, most clubs have a variety of projects and activities that they're involved in, but some clubs will emphasize some things more than others, and so that's probably why it's a good idea to check it out.
That's correct, Larry. We have, in our county, we have a club that it's Paws and Pals, and they work with the dog project. They do other projects as well, but that's kind of their main focus, and some are horse, where they work on the horse projects, and we do have a shooting sports club in our county, and that's their main focus. But again, those kids are still doing woodworking and photography and other things as well.
And Christine, I remember you talking about something about space as well.
Yeah, definitely. There's a space camp. You actually, one of the neat things about 4-H is you learn the application process. You have to fill out an application, and then if you're selected, you interview, and you can get selected to go down to space camp. And that is a neat opportunity. Tons of kids go. I believe it's for 6th through 8th graders. I might be a year off on that, but he would be the right age for that. And another thing is when picking out your club, a lot of people tend to go to the one right in your area. What we recommend doing at our open house is to go to a couple of the meetings, see if you like how the size of the club is, what they emphasize on. Some people are really into community service or shooting sports. You want to make sure it's the right thing for their interests because you don't want to get into the wrong type of club. So that's one thing I would be cautious of this time to make sure it all works out well.
All right. Thanks again for calling. And Phyllis, who's a former 4-H'er, online with us. Hi, Phyllis. Phyllis, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, hi. Thanks for calling.
I'm sorry. I was just driving between Racine and Beloit and so excited to hear your program. I was in 4-H for 10 years in Bloomington, Illinois, and then went to Beloit College and went on to a career and ended up as an executive in human resources. And I can't tell you how often I refer back to my various 4-H projects and the leadership training it gave me that really gave me the starting point, both to being a good homemaker as well as effective in business. And I'm so excited to hear that the program is still so alive and well.
Well, thanks a lot for calling. Do you get a little of this, Tim? You hear this quite a bit, I bet.
Oh, all the time. People are still surprised when you put like the arts and 4-H together. They're like, what is that all about? Or 4-H and space camp, you know, and they're excited about the fact that there are so many different things that you can get involved in through 4-H. So I hear that a lot, people saying, I just didn't know. And also former 4-H members who say, you know, I've got this career now based on things that happened to me in 4-H. I'm a chef, an executive chef somewhere because I took the cooking project way back when. So I hear that kind of thing all the time.
Yeah. Thanks again for calling, Phyllis. And we'll take another call. Anita next in Wisconsin Dells. By the way, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. We finally have some open lines again so we can get you on pretty quickly. And let's go to Anita in Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Anita.
Hello. This is a very interesting program, and I'm an old 4-H gal.
Seasoned.
I remember, I should say older. I remember as a teenager being in 4-H, and there were like 50 kids in our little Newport Township 4-H, the Newport Busy Bees, and the kids took their animals to the fair and were very involved on the farm and the kinds of things that are related specifically to the farm. And as I have grown through the years, I can see the kids being less and less in the animal department and even in the other things. And it's quite a correlation with the fact that we're losing so many family farmers from our agricultural system, and it's I'm concerned about this, and I see that the 4-H is trying to gather kids from the towns, you know, and this is okay, but I'm wondering, there should be something taught on the land and the value of land for farming, and how can we keep people on the land so they have children on the land so the children can be in 4-H. Is there anything done in that, emphasizing this?
All right. Thank you for calling. Kevin, let's turn to you first. Kevin Palmer?
Well, excuse me, I think a lot of kids involved in 4-H, they're in different projects. They're learning the same skills no matter what project you're in. It's those life skills is what we're really, and leadership skills is what we're trying to teach the youth. And I think specifically for the land, I know in our county, we still have a lot of kids involved in the agricultural projects, and some that live in town. Our farmers are generous enough where if you want to take a cow to the fair, you can do that. They'll loan one to you to raise it for a year and take that, come out to their farm. So there's programs like that locally where kids can still get involved in agriculture.
Mm-hmm. And Tim, a comment from you?
Yeah, I think a slogan I'd like to use is 4-H has always been green, even though now it's the new thing to go green. I think 4-H has always done that because of their respect for agriculture, because of their respect for the land. And I know there's a lot of 4-H groups that the community service is a huge part of what they do, and they do pick up the roadside, and they do talk about the value of clean water and clean air and all those things that we strive for. And so I think 4-H is poised to really take us into the next century with those kinds of ideas.
Mm-hmm. In our county, just a couple weekends ago, we went around the city of Manitowoc and we did storm sewer stenciling. That's a way to help the environment by educating the people in the city about what can go down a storm sewer. So that was a group of about 35 kids and adults that went around the town and did that. So it was a special project where we worked in partnership with the Wisconsin Maritime Museum and the city of Manitowoc, and kids learned a lot that day about the environment and Lake Michigan.
Hmm. And Christine, you want to make a comment?
Yeah, actually, in that regard, my mother grew up in northwestern South Dakota, where I guess I'd say the closest city would be about 5 miles away, would be Rapid City. And in that whole area, all the people involved in 4-H are from the country because there is no cities to be involved, or towns, really. And they have their fair, and I'd say there's probably about 50 to 60 kids involved. And it's not huge, but every kid there either enters an animal, or it's all about the wheat and the farm and the hay and seeing how that project was. And they get home from school, and school gets out earlier and starts earlier, so they're home for the crops season, so that they can help on the family farm and the ranches, actually, because there's 7,000 acres to care for and they need that extra hand. So even though it may be fading here, there's a lot going on in other places where 4-H is still very involved in the farms. And another thing in that respect is it would be great if you are interested in coming back and helping in 4-H. Maybe you could help start a program in your local county to get that back up on its feet and make sure that's taken care of, because it sounded like you were really involved, and that'd be great to have your mind back on track with us.
Thank you very much. Anita, thank you very much for calling. Winna and Galesville, I think, is next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi there. Yeah, you're right. That's me. The reason I'm calling is because I have a first grade son, and I had considered bringing him to 4-H because he's an only child, and we want him to have something to do where he's with other children more.
Sure.
But I'm concerned that competition seems to be such a focus in 4-H, and I'm wondering if you could address that, because our family strives to keep competition out of the picture as much as possible. And mm-hmm. it seems, I know it's not the entire focus because you stress community service and leadership, but it seems like each project, the end goal is to get it in the competition.
Okay, well, let's turn to Christine first. Christine?
Well, actually, the great thing about being in a young age, like in first grade, is he would be in clover buds. And at that age, what you do is each kid gets a big ribbon. It's not where, you go and you tell the judge how you did your project, but you're not graded on how well it was or what you can do. They'll give you some tips on how to improve, but they aren't going to say, okay, you have a little mistake here, so we're going to give you a second. They'll actually get a big ribbon for all their projects, and it's like that for all the clover buds. So at that age, you really don't have to worry about that, which is one of the really great things about 4-H at such a young age.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think another thing, too, that can be said is you have the option to choose the kind of project you want to choose, and a lot of projects really don't have too much to do with competition at all. Some of my children, when they were growing up in 4-H, were always in the music project, the drama project, and that was all about teamwork and working together with people. I'm sure, Christine, the bug project, I'm not sure there's a lot of competition there.
Not really. There isn't a lot of kids in entomology, so basically all the kids who are going to be in entomology will be coming to my house, and I'll I'll be teaching them all the similar things. So it's not like one's going to be much better than the other. They'll have similar bugs. And the neat thing is eventually they'll get to go home and get their own bugs.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Phil Pelletieri is an entomologist I have on my show quite often, and he'll be retiring someday. And Christine, I would look forward to having you on as the new extension entomologist, because you're pretty articulate here. I thanks a lot for Winna, for your comments, and thanks very much for calling. And Lynn in Superior, we'll go to you next. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. I've been a 4-H leader for almost 30 years, and now we're in Douglas County. We do a couple of special things here. We have a model horse program that we run, and we do all kinds of things with our model horses. We've got a show coming up on the 27th of October where we show our model horses. And then we also have a computer project that's a pretty good project for us. And we get computers that people don't want anymore, where they're upgrading or something's wrong with it or something. And we pull those computers in and go through them, and the kids learn all kinds of things about the insides of computers and programming and whatnot. And then at Christmas time, we'll give these computers away to kids that don't have one, and they need them for school. So we try to get at least 8 computers away every year to kids that that need them. And that's just part of the things we do here in Douglas County.
Well, that's a great story, and I think representative of what goes on around the state, Kevin.
Absolutely. We talk about this essential elements in 4-H, and it's the belonging, mastery, independence, and generosity. And that's was involved in what she was talking about, all those elements, really, in the 4-H experience.
Well, I tell you what, I really appreciate you guys taking the time to be with us today. The time flew by. Christine, you're a model citizen and a model 4-H member. Thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate your time here.
Thanks and for letting me come.
Yeah, she had to give up school for this.
Oh,
my gosh. Math class.
I tell you what, it was a real pleasure to have you. Christine O'Neill is a 4-H member from Ozaukee County. Tim Tallon, thank you. Tim, State 4-H and Arts and Communications Specialist. And Kevin Palmer, thank you, too.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you,
for being with us. Kevin is 4-H Youth Development Educator for Manitowoc County and UW Extension. Well, lots of fun having them with us. And coming up, just to let you know, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about biofuels and bioenergy, a little about the economics of those fuels, and some more about some research that's going on in the area as well with Professor Randy Fortenberry. Coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.